نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد let's continue شرح ثلاثة الأصول, the explanation of the three fundamental principles of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, the explanation of Shaykh al-Fawzan hafidahullah. Then we are on the second fundamental principle, the person's, the servant's awareness of the religion, knowledge and awareness of the religion of Islam. And with regard to what we had last time, with regard to the testification of faith, the first part of the Shahada, La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that it has two pillars. Who can remember the two pillars of La ilaha illallah?
Nafi and Ithbat.
And Nafi wal Ithbat. A negation and an affirmation. I mean, a negation of what? A negation of worship for everything besides Allah. Negation, a denial, negation of there being any right for anything besides Allah to be worshipped. An affirmation of worship for Allah alone. And we have the two ayahs that the author brought in explanation of that. Both of these ayahs making very these two points, Nafi and Ithbat, very clear. The ayah from Surah Az-Zukhruf and the ayah from Surah Al-Imran. Both of them very clearly negating worship for everything besides Allah, and affirming worship for Allah alone. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan, in his explanation, he mentioned, having said that the La ilaha illallah has two pillars, he mentioned that it has shurut, conditions, and he mentioned the seven conditions. So who can mention the first of those seven conditions? And as if we remember that The condition was mentioned, and then its opposite was mentioned as well. So who can remember the first of the seven conditions for La ilaha illallah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And its opposite? The first one, al-ilm, knowledge, and its opposite being al-jahl, ignorance. So it's essential that a person says La ilaha illallah, knowing its meaning, having knowledge of its meaning, and that it will not benefit a person if he is ignorant of its meaning. If he says it, but he doesn't know what he's saying. He doesn't know the meaning of what he's saying. It will not benefit, as the Shaykh said. The second condition then? Yeah. The second one that the Shaykh mentioned was al-yaqeen. It's a condition for the person who says La ilaha illallah, that he knows its meaning, the negation of worship for anything besides Allah, an affirmation of worship for Allah alone, he knows that meaning, and then secondly, he has yaqeen in it. He has certainty in that. He doesn't, and his opposite being a shak, having doubt. It's not permissible for the person has a doubt about that. He thinks it's right, but he's not sure, he has some doubt about that, but it will not be correct, will not benefit him. He has doubt about that. The third condition? The opposite? No. Thirdly, al-ikhlas. A person makes that purely and sincerely for Allah. That is purely and sincerely with all, and it's a worship, it's pure and purely and sincerely for Allah. The opposite being a shirk. The person needs to be free in that, free from shirk. Fourthly, the fourth condition?
Sidq.
No, a sidq. And the opposite? Truthfulness. Sidq. The opposite?
No.
Yeah, the opposite being al-kadhib, saying it lying. The person is essential, that person says it, he's truthful when he says it. The opposite of that being al-kadhib, saying it as a lie. And the example that Shaykh gave to make it clear, what the example did the Shaykh give of people who say the Shahada, but they do not have sidq. They lie when they say it. They say it, but they say it as a lie. What example did the Shaykh give for that?
Yeah. The munafiqun, the hypocrites, those who say it upon their tongues, but in their belief, in their hearts they deny it. They reject it in their hearts, they don't believe it in their hearts. So it's necessary that a person says the shahada, la ilaha illallah, and he's truthful when he says it. He believes it. He says it with his tongue, and his heart agrees with what he's saying upon his tongue. He's truthful. Now, opposite to the case of the hypocrites. The fifth condition? No. Al-muhabba. A person has love for it, and love for its people. He has love for the saying, la ilaha illallah. And he has love for those people who are upon it. Love and alliance for the people who are upon it. Obviously, opposite being hatred. Hatred for it, and hatred for its people. The sixth condition, when we get to the sixth? Yeah, we did the sixth condition. We've run out of people. Should there be at least seven people on the seventh condition? Right. Somebody got an answer? What was an answer?
Khalid.
Khalid. Right. Al-Qiyad. Right. And
Al-Qiyad.
Yeah. And Al-Qiyad, compliance. Compliance with it. And the opposite being Al-Iqrad, Al-Tarq. Turning away or abandoning it. And the last condition? Acceptance of it. And acceptance of it, and as the Shaykh mentioned, acceptance of it and acceptance of its rights. That whatever it necessitates and the rights of it, that they are accepted. No, none of it is refused. Then Shaykh Fawzan, he mentioned an eighth condition. Some of the people knowledge, they mentioned that there are seven conditions, but there's an eighth one that's also essential. Who can remember the eighth one that Shaykh Fawzan added, as some of the people knowledge had?
Al-Kufr bit-Tahut.
No. Basically, which is the same thing, freeing oneself from shirk. Yeah. Freeing oneself from shirk. Where is it? Al-bara'a min al-shirk. Freeing oneself from shirk. Freeing oneself from everything that's worshipped besides Allah. Yeah. Then, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he moves on, continues with this point, but he continues with the point with regard to Shahada, but moves on to the second part of the Shahada. So he says, and what occurs on page 175 of this Lebanese print, page 135 of the Egyptian print, وَدَلِيلُ شَهَادَةِ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قوله لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم. الآية من سورة التوبة. He said, and the proof for the testification that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah is his saying, and then he quotes the ayah from Surah At-Tawbah, the ninth surah, Ayah 128, the ayah before the last in Surah At-Tawbah, with the explanation, there has indeed come to you a messenger from Allah, from amongst yourselves. It grieves him that you undergo suffering. He is eager and anxious for your guidance, and he is full of compassion and mercy for the believers. Shaykh Fawzan, hafizahullah, said in explanation, the first pillar from the pillars of Islam, because if you remember, all this section is part of a section with regard to the second principle, the servant's knowledge of his religion. His religion being Islam, and we had that Islam has pillars, has five pillars. So this is the first of the five pillars, the testification. La ilaha illallah, man has a right to worship except Allah, and Muhammadun Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. So he mentioned, and the proof. So we dealt last week with the proof and the points with regard to the first part of the Shahada, La ilaha illallah, man has a right to worship except Allah, its pillars and its conditions. Now he moves to the second part of the Shahada. So Shaykh Fawzan said, the first pillar from the pillars of Islam is composed of two matters. The first is the testification that La ilaha illallah, that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. And the second, which is what he's going to deal with now this week, and the second is the testification that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, and Muhammadan Rasulullah. The Shaykh said, so these two are a single pillar. These two testifications, they come together, they are a single pillar. The first pillar of Islam. So the second is the testification that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, and these two are a single pillar. The first part means al-ikhlas fil ibadah. The first part means making one's worship purely and sincerely. And the second part means mutaba'atu rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second part means following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in other words, it's a single pillar with two parts. Then the Shaykh said, and the proof for the testification that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah is his saying, the ayah which is in the text, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَعُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Given the explanation, there has indeed come to you a messenger from Allah, from amongst yourselves. It grieves him that you undergo suffering. He is eager and anxious for your guidance, and he is full of compassion and mercy for the believers. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and the proofs for the testification that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah are many in the book and the sunnah. And also the amazing mu'jizat, the amazing miracles which prove his sallallahu alayhi wa sallam messengership. So in other words, as the Shaykh said, there are many evidences for this point. The author has brought one here, this ayah as one evidence, but there are many. Many evidences in the Book of Allah, many evidences in the Sunnah, and many evidences in the miracles which occurred, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which occurred for him. And he said, and from the book, from the Kitab, is this ayah. From the proofs from the Book of Allah, for this second part of the testification, is this ayah. He the Most High says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَعُوفًا رَحِيمًا. Same ayah. The explanation again, there has indeed come to you a messenger from Allah from amongst yourselves. It grieves him that you undergo suffering. He is eager and anxious for your guidance, and he is full of compassion and mercy for the believers. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so this is a witness, a shahada, from Allah for this messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for his risalah, for his messengership, and an explanation of his characteristics. This ayah is a testimony from Allah that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is indeed his messenger. And it is a description of some of his characteristics. Then the remainder of the explanation here, that Shaykh al-Fawzan brings, the remainder of what we'll take today, inshaAllah, is an explanation from Shaykh al-Fawzan for the words of the ayah. So he said, his saying, he the Most High, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the La, you write the first La here, La, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ. He said the Lam is Lam al-Qasam, is the Lam of an oath. The Lam at the beginning of Laqad, La, is a Lam to indicate an oath. So it carries along with it, Qasamun muqaddaran, taqdiruhu wallahi laqad ja'akum. The Shaykh said, so it carries along with it, means that a line indicating an oath is being made. So therefore it carries along with it an oath which is understood. I mean, the oath is not stated in the text, you don't see it in the wording, but it's understood in the meaning. It's muqaddar. It's not there in the word, but it's understood automatically when this is said. So the oath is understood, and it's taken to be Wallahi, by Allah, that has certainly come to you. So in other words, that is the meaning that we take the part of the ayah to have. By Allah, there has certainly come to you. Then the Shaykh explains the word Qad. He said, Qad is a harf tahqiq wa ta'keed ba'da ta'heed. He said the word Qad. It's already understood oath in the ayah. Then the word Qad, he said, is a particle for confirmation and for further emphasis. Ja'akum, with the meaning he has come to you. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning all mankind, he has come to you. Ja'akum, he has come to you, meaning all mankind. This is an address to the whole of mankind, because his sallallahu alayhi wa sallam messengership was general to all of the thaqalain, to all of the two weighty species, mankind and the jinn. All of them. His messengership was to all of them. All of the jinn and all of mankind. Explains the next word, Rasul. A messenger. And then Shaykh Fawzan, he gives a definition of a Rasul, a messenger. He said, هُوَ مَنْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْهِ بِشَرْءٍ وَأُمِرَ بِتَبْلِيغِهِ. He, a messenger, Rasul, is one who had revelation sent to him, or they said he is one who had a revealed law sent to him by revelation, and he was commanded to convey it. And as a side point here, then this is a definition we've had a number of times in Aqidah Wasatiyya, and other times as well, at Tahawiyya, and likewise. The definition that is very commonly mentioned by, very commonly found, that a Nabi, a Prophet, is one who received revelation from Allah, but he was not commanded to propagate it, not commanded to convey it to anyone. Whereas a Rasul, he received a revealed law, and he was commanded to convey it, to call to it and convey it. So as a side point here, then some of the people of knowledge disagree with this definition. And amongst them, Shaykh, there are different definitions which some others of the people of knowledge give. Amongst them was a definition given by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah in his book, An-Nubuwwat. What his definition amounts to is that a prophet, a Nabi, was one whom Allah sent with a revealed law. A prophet, a Nabi, is one whom Allah sent with a revealed law. And Allah commanded him to convey it to his followers, to the believers. Not to opponents, not to unbelievers, opponents. Whereas a Rasul, a messenger, is one whom Allah sent with a revealed law to call all of the people in his time to. Those who agreed with him or those who opposed him. Whether it's a new revealed law or whether it's one from before. Then he gives some examples from different prophets. Wallahu a'lam. So just a side point that some of the people of knowledge, they differ. And there are other definitions as well which people of knowledge give. That's a side point there. So as for what Shaykh Fawzan mentioned, then he said, a Rasul is one who had a revealed law sent to him, and he was commanded to convey it. He was called a Rasul, a messenger, because he was Mursa, he was sent with a message by Allah, the Perfect and Most High. When you have Rasul, is someone sent with a message. Then it explains the wording, min anfusikum, from your own selves. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning min jinsikum, from your own species, from your own type, from humankind. He was a human being. And he was not an angel from the angels. And this was the Sunnah of Allah. This was the way of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. That He would send to mankind messengers from them in order to make the affair clear. And in order for them to speak with them. And so, or rather, and because they knew them, He sent Allah's way with regard to the people is that He would send the messengers who were people from amongst them. So that the people could speak with the other people that they were sent to, and because they would be, that they would know, they would be aware of that person who was sent, they would know him. It's a person from amongst them, they would know him. Then the Shaykh said, and if He had sent as a messenger to them an angel, they would not have been able to speak with him, because he would not have been from their type of being. And also they would not have been able to see the angel, because he was not of their type of being. The angels are a different type of being that we don't see. We don't see and we don't speak. So from His mercy, He the Perfect and Most High is that He sent as messengers to the men, He sent as a messenger to mankind, a messenger from their own time. Indeed, from the Arabs, and from the most noble of the houses of the Arabs in lineage, from the Banu Hashim. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is from the tribe of Banu Hashim. Those who are the most honorable in lineage of Quraysh. And Quraysh are the most honorable of the Arabs in lineage. So he was the chosen and best one, especially chosen from the best of the people. In other words, that we believe and we are sure that the best of the people, the best tribe on the face of the earth is the tribe of Quraysh. And the best part of that is the Banu Hashim. The best clan from the Quraysh is the Banu Hashim. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was from Banu Hashim, the best clan from the best tribe. Shaykh Fawzan said, they knew him, and they knew of his person, they knew his personality, and they knew his lineage, and they knew his tribe, and they knew his town. If they had not known him, then how could they attest to his truthfulness? They knew him perfectly well. They knew that when he came, he was a truthful person. If they didn't know him, how could they possibly attest to him being a truthful person if they didn't know him? But they knew him. They knew his tribe, they knew his land. So they attested, it was upon them to attest to his truthfulness. They knew him. The Shaykh said, and if he came with other than their language, then how could they understand his speech? Azizun alayhi ma anittum. The explanation, it grieves him greatly that you should suffer. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, he's saying, Azizun, meaning, it troubled him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was Aziz, it was great trouble upon him. Ma anittum. What I mean, whatever troubles you. Shaykh said, meaning, whatever troubles you. He was troubled by ما عنتم, whatever troubles you. And the anat means inconvenience and hardship. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was troubled by whatever caused trouble to his nation. He had not used to want hardship for them. Rather, he wanted ease and easiness for them. And therefore, His Sharia, His revealed law, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came sahla samha. That's something easy and easygoing. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Bu'ithtu bil hanifiyyati samha. I was sent with the straight and true religion, the easy religion, the religion of ease. In the footnote, they mention the hadith reported by Ahmad, and they quote a reference to one of the newer versions of Musnad Imam Ahmad, and in the old version, it's in volume 5, page 266. It's from a hadith, as they mention, of Abu Umama al-Dahili, radiallahu anhu. And this hadith is part of a longer wording that I was not sent with Judaism, and I was not sent with Christianity, but rather I was sent with Al-Hanifiyyat al-Samha. I was sent with the true religion of Tawheed, the easy religion. As for this hadith, then this hadith was declared strong by Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, in As-Sahihah, number 2924, because of its witnesses. I mean, there are some weaks in the chain of narration, but however, the witnesses for each part, it's a longer hadith, and Shaykh al-Albani mentions the parts, the different parts of the hadith, they have witnesses and supports, so Shaykh al-Albani declares the hadith to be strong. In one of his later works, As-Sahihah, number 2924. Back to the explanation that Shaykh Rozan said, having mentioned the hadith, Bu'ithtu bil hanifiyyati samha, I was sent with the true religion of Tawheed, true and straight religion of Tawheed, the easy religion. He said, He the Most High said, وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجِ Surah Al-Hajj, the 22nd Surah, Ayah 78. With the explanation, And He, Allah the Most High, He did not place upon you any hardship in the religion. He did not place upon you any hardship in the religion. And he said, مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ يَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَرَجِ Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th Surah, Ayah 6. With the explanation, Allah does not wish to place any hardship upon you. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so his Sharia, his revealed way, is sahla, is easy. It goes along with the capability of the people. And with what those forgiven duties are able to do. And it does not burden them with things that they are not capable of. And therefore, the Prophet ﷺ, he used to love to make things easy for them. And he was never given a choice between two matters, except that he chose the easiest one of the two, as long as it was not sinful. And he used to love to perform an action, but he would leave it out of compassion for his nation. He would leave the action even though he loved it, even though he loved to do it, from the righteous deeds, in order that he should not put difficulty upon his nation. These were from his characteristics, that whatever was a difficulty for his, whatever caused difficulty for his nation, was a difficulty, he felt difficulty himself. And he would become pleased with whatever was pleasing to them. And he would be joyful with whatever caused them to be joyful. And whoever has these as his characteristics, then there is no doubt that he will not bring except that which is khayr and rahmah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a person will not bring anything except that which is good and mercy. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. The explanation, he is eager and anxious for you. Shaykh said, meaning, for your guidance, for your hidayah, for your guidance, and that you be taken out from the darkness into light. And therefore he used to bear difficulties in calling the people. He didn't like difficulty, as we've already said, he didn't like anything that caused hardship for his people, but he himself bore difficulty and bore hardship. As the Shaykh said, himself, he bore difficulty in calling the people, seeking that they should be guided, and seeking to take them out from darkness into light, to such an extent that Allah said to him, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِئٌ نَفْسَكَ أَنْ لَا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Surah Ash-Shu'ara, 26th Surah, Ayah 3. With the explanation, perhaps, being addressed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, perhaps you would destroy yourself with grief at their not believing. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning, perhaps you would bring about your own destruction that they do not have iman, that they do not believe, because of grief. So do not grieve for them. The Shaykh said, and this was from the completeness of his sincerity, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَعُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. The explanation that he was compassionate, merciful towards the believers. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Ra'uf is from Ar-Ra'fa, is from compassion, and that is Ar-Rifq wal-Lutf, and it means tenderness and kindness. Rahim, meaning merciful, Shaykh said, he described him with Rahmah, with mercy. So he was not the Ghalib, he was not harsh. And Shaykh al-Fawzan closed the ayah, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, Ayah 159. With the explanation again, and address from Allah the Most High to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so by mercy from Allah, you were gentle with them. And if you had been severe and hard-hearted, they would have dispersed from around you. Shaykh Fawzan said, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mutawadi'an, he was humble, layyinan, gentle with the believers. He would lower his ring in gentleness, and he would meet them with a smiling face and with love and affection and fine treatment. These were from his sallallahu alaihi wasallam characteristics. Shaykh Fawzan said, summarizing, Allah mentioned five attributes for this messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first of them is that he was minkum, he was from you, from amongst you. The second was that he was azizun alayhi ma anittum, he was troubled by whatever troubles you. The third was harisun alaykum, that he was eager and anxious for you. And the fourth was bil-mu'minina ra'uf, that he was compassionate towards the believers. And the fifth, that he was rahim, that he was merciful. Shaykh Fawzan said, five characteristics from the characteristics of this Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And compassion and mercy were mentioned specifically for the believers, for the mu'mineen, And he was mentioned as being compassionate and merciful towards whom? Towards the Mu'mineen, towards the people of Iman, towards the believers. So they were specialized with that, they were particularized with that rather. He said, since he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was ghaleez, he was stern upon the people of shirk and the mu'anideen and the obstinate and willful rejecter of truth, he would become angry for that which angered Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Just as He, the Most High, said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ جَاهِدِ الْكُفَّارِ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ وَغْلُبْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَمَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرِ Surah At-Tawbah, the 9th Surah, Ayah 73. With the explanation, O Prophet, strive against the unbelievers and the hypocrites, and be stern against them, and their dwelling place will be the hellfire. And what an evil destination. So Shaykh Razan said, the rahmah, the mercy, and the ra'fa, and the compassion was specific for the mu'mineen, for the believers. And likewise, the believers are to be with each other. And Shaykh is the evidence for that. And just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mercy and compassion towards the believers, likewise the believers amongst themselves are to be in the same way. They're to follow his example in that. The Shaykh is his example, and the Shaykh is the proof of that rather. Muhammadun Rasulullah walladheena ma'ahu ashidda'u ala al-kuffari rahama'u bainahum. Surah Al-Fath, the 48th Surah, Ayah 29. With the explanation, Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, and those who are with him are stern against the unbelievers, merciful amongst themselves. Shaykh Razan said, these were his, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, characteristics. Then what follows, and we leave because it's quite long, is the meaning of the testification that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. What the meaning of it is. So we'll leave that till next time, inshaAllah. Alhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad.